to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
Children do not play with fireworks. Let the adults that have been drunk all day do that.
And Dale Hummel.
The measure of intelligence is the ability to change.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with Ryan Rash, co-star Ryan Rash, the one, the only, who came up with the topic the last minute today to kind of save our ass. Ryan.
Dear Lord. Hello. You must really be off, because we've done this like for 5 years and you've never screwed up the intro. And that was the
Well, maybe we'll redo it.
No, I don't know.
I'm just happy that you came up with a topic that I think you sent me a long time ago, because I would not have come up with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure.
There you go.
But before that, you want to tell us about your P. Diddy, your buddy, your current events?
He's not guilty. Diddy's not guilty. He didn't do any of it.
Of course.
He transported a prostitute. That's all he did. The rest of it, nope. All these people that got up there, showed text messages and told their stories. What? Nope. Didn't happen. None of it.
Nope. Well, maybe it happened, but it wasn't racketeering or prosecutable. How's that?
I
did not follow it at all.
I am not an expert on the Diddy thing. I'm not. I followed it some because I do find it fascinating, but I'm not going to tell you that I followed it every single day, whatever. I'm going to say this, and some of you people are going to say that I'm a conspiracy theorist or whatever. I don't care. That's normally Dale's role.
I have that covered.
I'll take it today. I truly believe, from the little that I followed this, and I followed a lot of the Me Too cases, and those people got convicted and, you know, whatever, on a lot less, in my opinion, than what was presented here. But I truly believe that because of, in cases of celebrities, all the bullshit that happened to Trump and the legalization warfare and all this other stuff, I think that is going to impact cases with celebrities from here on out in this country, because I just don't think anybody bought into it. And now they truly think if they can do that to Diddy or they can do that to Donald Trump, what can they do to me? And these ordinary American citizens are the ones who are deciding the fates of these cases. And I do think it's going to have a long lasting impact. Y'all can say that I'm crazy, whatever, but I'm telling you, I believe that.
It's an interesting take. I don't disagree with that. And I don't disagree that Diddy appears to be a bad person, the little bit that I've seen.
No, he's wonderful.
But at the same time, I think maybe the prosecution went too far in what they were trying to prosecute for.
And that's what I'm saying. Same with Trump. They overcharged and it didn't work for Trump, and now it didn't work here. But there's no way you cannot... I don't know if the racketeering needs to hold in this, but all this other stuff. Most pundits, which they're now all saying the opposite, thought that he would be convicted on everything but the racketeering, and he only got convicted on transportation of a prostitute.
You want to know what that amounts to? I'm just guessing. Pretty much nothing. It's my guess.
Not a lot. And so, I don't know. But when that came out today, that was the first thing that popped in my mind. And I also...
So does he come back with a lawsuit for wrongful prosecution of some sort?
Oh, I'm sure. And he's going to appeal the charges that stuck, of course, and whatever else. But I think it's really interesting. And then it was like I was asking Clifton before you logged on. So all of his friends and associates that fled the country, supposedly because Trump won the election, not that they were scared to death that they might get prosecuted if he was found guilty, are they coming back now? I would just like to know.
I just hope they're not.
Same. I mean, but I would just like to know. Are y'all returning now? And I mean, but...
The big, beautiful bill?
Yeah, it's in progress.
I think, did it not just pass the Senate with our wonderful vice president's vote? Yeah, I believe so. I saw something.
You're watching. I have not seen
it. Yeah, the Senate passed the bill. Vance actually had to use the tie-breaking vote. So that means there's a couple Republicans that didn't jump in at the last minute.
Well,
what do you think of your boy Vance now?
I've not seen anything about this. I think Dale might be wrong.
I am pretty sure.
You have the TV on right now.
I have a very reliable source that sent this to me. They could be wrong.
Way to go if the big, beautiful bill passed. I'm very happy.
That's just the Senate. Not it hasn't fully. That's just
it one passed step Congress of, already.
No, I think they amend it and send it back.
Oh, Jesus.
That is my, and again, I've been away from the news for 2 weeks plus, so I'm speculating a little bit here, but that is my assumption that they were going to make amendments to it, and then at some point, they both have to agree upon one, and I'm 99% sure that has not happened.
So then really, J.D. Vance did nothing. Yay
he,
for J.D. Vance.
He got it out of the Senate. But I think they made some amendments that there's a few Republicans that in Congress that may not like it. So I don't
barely pass there. So
yeah, I can't tell you much about it. I'm sure there's crap in that big, beautiful bill that I oppose, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that need to happen.
Well, So just this example right here, it passed Congress, goes Senate. They're going to amend it. It's got to go back to Congress. This is why nothing gets done. Period.
And some would say that's the constitutional process, that it shouldn't get done that quickly. I'm with you. Remember, I'm in favor of a dictatorship as long as it's the right dictator to get things done quickly. But
nothing gets done.
I listen to the other side, and they tell us, not just the left, but on both sides, that that's part of the constitutional process, and that's why our country has survived as long as it has.
Well,
I want a dictator that makes all the correct decisions. I'm there. But trying to give both sides the story.
Y'all. I don't know. But
what do you think about? I talked to you briefly about the.
No, y'all started on that. Then y'all went down some rabbit hole that I didn't pay attention to. So,
alligator Alcatraz.
I thought he was going to use the real Alcatraz. No.
No, he looked at that. I don't know where that is. There's obviously people trying to stop that, but he had talked about that. Okay. So then DeSantis came up. They have something in Florida in the middle of a swamp that's been developed and it's just sitting there that they can put a detention center up fairly quickly. Clifton calls it a prison because it'll be bars and cells, but technically a detention center for illegal aliens that are being deported out of the country. And if they try to escape, they have like 30 miles of alligators to navigate through. So they basically say you're not getting off this little piece of ground out in the middle of the swamp.
Well, good for your boyfriend, Don.
So does that mean that Trump and DeSantis have kissed and made up to get this to happen?
They already kissed and made up.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Long time ago.
They're kissing a little more then.
Maybe.
Because of the void.
This is where they're going to stick all the drag queens. This is what's going to happen. This is why he made it, probably. This is where he's going to put all the drag queens.
Since you brought this up, I didn't want to send it to you because I didn't get around to it, but somebody sent me a meme and you've probably seen this. It's finally July. You know what it's relative to?
I'm sure that Gay Pride Month.
It is that. Yep. I explained to him, you would probably agree with this wholeheartedly.
I'm the most happy.
It was a two images of people, one with the American flag and one with the rainbow, kicking the rainbow out.
Yeah, that's what happens on July.
That would offend a lot of your community if you were to support something like that.
Doesn't offend me at all.
Okay. Not even a little, I assume. I explained as best I could.
Mm-mm. No, I literally think Pride Month is the devil. But
it would
anyway.
Be fine if it wasn't approached in the manner it is. There's nothing wrong with trying to.
This is my stance on this, and I'll just be honest, and then we won't have to talk about this for a whole nother year. I've explained on here multiple times why I think Pride Month is so stupid and offensive and whatever. It's basically a big fetish convention right now. But I truly believe that in most cases, even the people that overwhelmingly, that this country is not homophobic. But now, because of bullshit like Pride Month, we are homo fatigued. There's a difference.
Yes, I would agree. It is escalated.
And do not think that most people really care if you are gay or straight now. But there is a large portion of America that is over the bullshit that they try So they are homo fatigued, not homophobic. And that is all I have to say about it. And I'm done.
While you were digging into that, I pulled up real quick our big, beautiful bill. And what I've got, the House Rules Committee on July 2nd. That's like day.
Yeah, that's today, sir.
It advanced the Senate passed version of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, putting it one step closer. So the Rules Committee in the House has advanced it on, I assume next will be, or advancing towards a House vote on the Senate's version. So it hasn't completely passed, but the Senate.
So what about this JD doing nothing? He didn't.
He allowed it to come out of the Senate. He broke the tie.
Oh.
Which, I mean, he really didn't have to do much, but break the tie, which obviously he's going to do. But then it's passed back to the House. I assume it goes through the Rules Committee first. If it makes it through there, then it gets closer to getting voted on by the House. I don't know if they're allowed to amend again and again and again. And it just, like you said, goes on forever. I don't know.
If I was Trump, I'd be putting a stop to the amendments.
I don't know that he can. It won't pass.
I
wish we could just do it. I'm with you, but that's not the process.
I'm just saying.
China.
God. I don't want to know about China.
Two Chinese nationals arrested for spying on U.S. Navy on a U.S. Navy facility and actually attempting to recruit military personnel into China's intelligence agency. Obviously, I'm sure we're doing the same. I don't know this, but you would assume, would you not?
I don't know.
I don't know if we are or not, but this is, to me, these things are serious. When they send a balloon over us, all the things they're doing are very serious. Why? I understand we're at in my opinion, a cold war with China. It just is what it is. Let's be real about it. They're doing everything they possibly can to bring down our country. What don't we understand about that?
I didn't say that they're not.
Well, you didn't say that they were.
Well, what do you want me to do about
it? I want you to jump on the China bandwagon. I want you to condemn their action.
I think you do that enough for half of the country already.
I try. I let up on it the last year.
Right.
I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get more website hits from China again now.
That's great. That's what we need.
So I've been absent from current events. What I've given you is what I've gotten 5 minutes before we jumped on here. So please take everything I've said with that in mind.
So basically you're just spreading fake news.
Yes. Hopefully there's some relevance in what has been texted me by others, knowing that I was probably not up to date on my current events.
And yet these are the people that say they rely on you for the news.
No, not the ones that advise that text me the current events that they would like to, that they think are important, but I'm sure there are people out there that listen to you and I to try to stay up on things. And that's probably good because our spin on it's going to be better than what the real world is anyway.
No, because it's not true. Not true.
I like it that way. It works. That's my world, the world I see.
Right.
Perfectly okay with it. Do you have any other worthy current events?
No, you talked about the bill. We talked about Diddy. Oh, yes, I do have one other. Sorry. And this is probably going to offend a lot of people, and I don't care. To the 9 million people that sent me the Bigfoot bullshit. Okay.
Is it Bigfoot or just an ape?
No, it's Bigfoot. Yeah. That I didn't respond to. Who y'all kept sending it to me, and I still wouldn't respond. Be glad I didn't respond because you did not want my response.
I only got a couple.
Oh my God.
And I hadn't even seen any of it on my own. That's how non-social media.
I think that, I mean, granted, I don't think I'm famous. I don't want to be famous. I never wanted to be any of this bullshit. But I think I take the majority of this pretty well. Like, I have a very thick skin. I tell people at shows all the time that I've been called everything but slow and indecisive. I know that I get talked shit about more than anybody else out there in this, all this. I take it all pretty much with a grain of salt. This was the dumbest shit I have ever seen.
I think you're seeing all these kind of things just AI generated because they can do it in seconds. It's my
opinion. That's fine. But why me?
I'm sure it's not just you. I'm sure many people out there are getting.
No, I get it. But why did I have to get drug into it? I don't understand.
I do not know.
And the truly offensive bullshit of it was for me is you probably didn't see them all and you didn't.
No, I saw two that were texted to me.
And you didn't listen to it. There are now going to be people thinking that I say that kind of stupid bullshit.
So there's
when
audio
I'm judging
it?
Shows.
There's audio with it?
Yes.
See, I have not been exposed to any of that.
Oh, yeah. One of them is when I look at this class, it's clear this steer's rump is runway ready. That was the truly offensive bullshit, was what the audio was. Because I know that there are going to be people out there that think that I say that shit on the mic now. Yeah, of all the bull, like, I didn't care any of the Tiger King stuff. None of that bothered me. Nothing. This was truly offensive. So don't send them to me anymore. Okay.
And you believe, obviously, they're created via AI. I do not know how to do one of those, but it must not be difficult.
I don't care. I want whoever created them to be hurt.
I think like, you're, I think I want. Not just you, but you're going to see many more things like this because of it.
If I knew who the culprit was, I would choose violence. I'm not going to lie. I would choose violence.
Now, don't hold against the AI company, people requesting things from AI.
Whoever made those things and said those audio things, I would choose violence if I knew.
Is it an AI voice or a real person's voice?
It's an AI voice. They got a prompt. You just can't say,
yes,
I want Ryan Rash to look like Bigfoot. You got to.
I don't know what it would take. I don't know. I really don't understand enough of it, but it is crazy.
Somebody
to me.
Had to say that they wanted Bigfoot
yes.
to glitter slap an animal. Okay.
How much work
whoever
they had
did
to
that
put,
first?
How much
I
work they had
them.
To put into it is questionable. But now that I'm sure one is out there, it's probably much easier.
I want them hurt.
So I am finding a lot of AI stuff. Comes across my feed. Obviously, it's just for gaining followers, I assume. But what I have a hard time with, and I look at a lot of shark attack things, it's getting good enough. I think I can still tell the difference, but they're getting realistic enough. It's hard to tell.
I don't think anybody's going to be able to tell the difference in a year.
No, I would agree. I mean, then all of a sudden that changes everything we think and do. And when social media has such an impact on most people's news source, how do you sort through it?
Well, let's think about this. There are just as many people in this country that rely on TikTok for their news as they do mainstream media. Yep. So there you go.
And they probably shouldn't rely on either.
I'm just saying. Next.
Once again, a big thank you to Showfresh H2O. This is the only product out there that completely eliminates chlorine from drinking water, keeping your animals hydrated and ready to hit the show ring. If you want to feel better about your purchase, this product is made right here in America by good people. You can pre-order Showfresh H2O at your local farm store, favorite show supply trailer, or head over to swampfox.com. Main topic.
Uh-huh.
No judge has a crystal ball.
Correct.
Did I text you last night saying, hey, I've got nothing?
Yeah, and again this morning.
And you came through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've talked about this, though, in general, at least.
No, I mean, in general, like I've mentioned on here before, that no judge has a crystal ball. And I think that a lot of times people think we do, and I think a lot of judges also think they do, and they don't. And so I find it difficult as not only as a judge, but as someone who shows that when this happens and they're trying to, you know, forecast the future, they just can't. I don't care who it is. You can't do that. And so I'm very conscientious, I guess I should say. When I judge to try and not do this, and I think it just goes back to, you know, we had a judging series or whatever, and one of them is what you have to judge what's in the ring. I think you have to judge what's in the ring on that day at that time. Can you make some predictions? Maybe. But I think it is far more important to go with what you see and what is out there than trying to read the tea leaves or stare into a crystal ball and forecast the future. And I think a lot of times people get too caught up in that. That's just my opinion. Dale may disagree.
I just want to bring the other side in. I think what you're talking about is predicting, well, how is this prospect calf going to do at State Fair?
No, it's all kinds of things. Now, let's see that. No, not just that. But yes, that is one. Like, they'll say, well, I think this one's going to be better in the end than the other one. Well, you don't know that. You don't.
But if they think it's going to be better in the end, they think it's better now, assumably.
But they don't.
That's the kind of thing.
No, not necessarily.
If they're saying this one's going to be
better
than the
end. That's what you said. That's the kind they would. No.
They decide that they want to feed this kind. That's the kind they like.
Okay. You're literally making my point for me. You're saying they want to feed that kind because they think that one will be better in the end. That doesn't mean that one is better in the
real. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that's the kind they like. And if they're judging the show that day, that's what they like. I'm not trying to say that that one is going to be better. I'm just saying if they say that, that's the type they must prefer to put on feed, or they prefer, that's their type.
Okay. Then here's the other shoe that drops on this. When I'm judging the jackpot show or you're judging the jackpot show, you're also not judging the State Fair.
Correct. So, I am totally with you that I, at a jackpot show, to me, whatever one looks the best that day, I don't care what it weighs.
Then you just argued with me for nothing.
No, I was not. I was giving the other side of it, not where I'm at. I'm trying to explain to you, if a judge says, I think this one's going to feed better into State Fair, you're saying, well, they shouldn't do that and shouldn't use it for that reason. I'm trying to explain that they must like that kind if that's what they believe, and that's their type anyway.
I think it sounds dumb, and I think that if you want to use that one, that's the best one. Just say why. Don't add in the other stuff that you can't, that you're trying to forecast and read tea leaves and all this other stuff. Just, if that's the one you like the best, there's got to be reasons for it. Just explain to the people around the ring why that one is the best that those people can see. This is the thing. People want to be able to hear reasons that they can identify with. They can't identify with what's going to happen in 6 months because they can't see it. Neither can the judge.
What are you doing every time you go out and look at a prospect steer about buying it or trying to find something to buy? You're trying to predict how it's going to feed into the future.
Yeah, and sometimes you're wrong.
Yes, no, people, you're wrong as much as you're right. I'm not
exactly
not questioning, but that's all you have. That's what you're trying.
But you're also doing that for your personal child, someone else. It's not somebody else's child.
Or somebody you've been employed to do it for.
Right.
Asked to do it for.
It's not 500 other people that drove to a show and paid money for your opinion. So.
But don't you think their opinion on which one's going to feed better later is probably the same opinion they have right today of the animal? I'm with you. Describe what that is. Describe why. Absolutely. I'm not opposed to them thinking this one's going to do well in the future. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I think most people do. But you can't just say that. You better explain why you believe that animals has
that's
pieces
my point.
To
I
work.
Don't think they do.
No, and I'm with you on that. I don't go to enough shows and listen to enough jackpot shows. But yeah, I've heard people that sometimes will just say, I think this is going to be the, and I'm referring to cattle, the better calf at State Fair. I've heard that many times.
And it's not just in market animals. Like,
no,
they will. And we talked a little about this kind of last week with correlations and stuff like that. You know, you will hear a lot of times that a judge will say, well, I think this is going to be the better brood cow prospect. Well, how do you know that, sir?
Well, a lot of times they will qualify.
How do you know that, ma'am?
Just like you would in a set of reasons. If you use that term, explain why. In a judging contest sense or in the show ring sense.
And
so if you're not predicting how good a cow she's going to make, what are you predicting? What do you, where
that's my point. Jesus Christ. That is Dylan, their you're basis. You're not listening to anything that I'm saying.
If that's we're not trying judge, to decide what animals are going to be better.
You judge creatures. What's out there that day. Well, that day. That day in that ring.
And then cut their head off because it doesn't matter what they do in the future.
You can't predict that. You can't you tell can that. Damn, you can, you do I not know if you. Any of those animals are out there are going to have 9 calves or none.
No, you, but you can, but you have a strong correlation of what quality they're going to have. I'm not talking about how many calves they're going to have.
Or then don't tell me that one's the better brew cow prospect.
I think they're referring to, or if I use that term, I'm referring to it as this is a brood cow that's going to generate great calf if she produces calf. But you, I'm with you.
You never hear the if she produces.
No, calf. You don't. You can't predict fertility, but that's a given. And people are understand that they can't predict that.
I do not think that. Yeah, I think you're wrong here. I do not.
If I'm using a term like that, I'm referring to it more times than not that this one's good, and we hope she produces good, but. Even then, obviously, we could be very wrong. Just like we're selecting replacement donors or whatever it is, we're trying to predict what they're going to produce. And we don't know how many embryos they're going to make, or anything, but we still have to do it.
I am still standing.
How about we go, we can't predict fertility at all.
You can't. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We can agree
on that. So then don't tell me that this one's going to be the better producer, that this one's a better brood cup prospect, that this one's
okay,
better.
Can we?
And you also, hold up.
Go ahead.
I ain't finished.
I can tell.
Because you said this last week, so I'm going to throw this back in your face, big boy. How many times does the show heifer or the show doe or the show pig raise the great ones? Not nearly as many as you think.
No. So a lot of times those really high profile, not never, but those high profile ones.
Why don't we just judge what's out there? This is the best one today.
Okay. What determines what's the best one then? What are you basing that on?
Not which one I think.
I know, but what? Tell me what you're based. That's. I had a conversation this morning with Dr. Greiner, and we went back to this. I was talking to him about the meat animal evaluation contest, and just different things relative to judging contest. And he had commented, and I don't remember what it was. As long as we're on the topic, the episode we did not very long ago about judging contest. He said he enjoyed that episode. But he was fearful. This is how the conversation started, that when we're at a judging contest, that the students are programmed to only want to see division champions in that judging class versus maybe more average ones from the show or even a commercial animal. And I agree with him completely. I think we've programmed.
I didn't know they had a choice.
I think we've evolved from maybe commercial type animals to just some show animals, some commercial animals to, for the most part, if we're at a national show and you would be there, and I want great classes with as much quality as we can, but I think it's progressed to where we're almost training these kids only to sort the very best. That was something he wanted me to, I don't know if he wanted me to bring it up here, but he had a concern over. And with all of that said, we go back to talking about, obviously Scott and I are on the same page, that there has to be some fundamental basis for what determines that animal is the best. And historically, the only thing I can come up with is using that real world parameter as a basis, not as everything, but at least to keep some.
Does anybody notice how when Dale's losing the argument, he detours off into something that
I'm coming back to what do you determine to be the best? Someone's determined that's going to be the best brood cow. Fine, but what is the best today?
I'm talking about judge what's out there in the ring. You can determine what's out there in the ring. Which one's the widest?
And I say something muscular.
Which one's the best looking? Which one's all? There's lots of things that you can determine for sure in the ring that day that this one is a more muscular, a more shapely animal. This one is longer neck. This one is all this.
How about better looking? I use that term. You use that term. But guess what? Does it do? And you and I are probably not far off on it. But that doesn't mean that somebody else thinks that one's good looking.
No, and that's right. And so that's why when I say I think this is the best looking one, this qualify is the sexiest it one, I say because of she's chiseled in her throat less, she's longer in her neck, she's smoother. I say those things. But those are things you can identify in that ring.
But it's 100%. Still subjective. Just like the donor cow thing or the brood cow thing.
That
Muscularity, no. I mean, I think we can obviously.
Soundness, no.
Yeah, everybody's all over the board on it, but in theory, there's a right and a wrong, which one moves with less effort. And no, I agree with those kind of things.
That's why I say just judge with that ring instead of trying to put all this bullshit in a crystal ball and whatever, because it doesn't work. And okay, so Mr., you're going to argue with me on everything.
I am forced to take the other side sometimes.
No, you're not forced to do shit.
Well, if we disagreed on everything, it would be done in 2 minutes.
You can come up with your own topics and then you wouldn't have to take the wrong side. Next.
Go ahead.
Do you not agree that more times than not, that if there's a in breeding animals, if there is a lineup out there, that the younger animals do not get used as much as the older animals? Can we at least agree on that?
I agree 100%. Right. Now, however, I would disagree that, and I will put you, I'll throw you in with this, that I don't hesitate to use the younger ones.
I am the opposite. But I'm just saying, okay. So at least we agree on that. And so,
but let's just admit to the other where the other side is going to argue, and I'm not arguing this.
That one's older, more proven, all this.
There are more animals that look the part at a young age than there are animals that look the part older.
No, I was just at a show this weekend, and I heard the judge say this, and I thought it was absolutely correct. He said, you know, the older these things get, the sorrier they get. And he was not wrong.
There. That's the case the other side will make.
And so I am not going to say that's why the younger classes are bigger, because they still hold together. They still look great, all this other stuff. Why the older classes have less in them? Because you're not going to continue to drag around the one that gets its ass kicked at every single day. I get it. I understand it. But I think that a lot of times you will hear judges say, you know, this KF heifer is great and she's whatever and da da da, and she's got this bright future and all this other stuff. But the one down here is more proven, all this stuff. Okay. So my issue when they say stuff like that is what this one has done down here on the end is proven that it can be a year older and still look nice. That's it.
Okay.
All right. You don't know if that one's going to have a great calf, not have a great calf, whatever. So it's proven that a year later, it can still look good. I get that part. My philosophy is, when I'm judging, if I think the calf heifer is the absolute best representation in that lineup of what I feel like a calf should look like compared to what
a calf should look like, because what do you mean what a calf should look like to predict how it's going to mature?
No, I'm just talking about like what a calf champion female, in my opinion, should look like, if that's the closest to the ideal. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
and it should not look like a mature female.
Right. Yeah. But if I think because the calf is the most exceptional for her age at that time,
but why
and what she's not, supposed to look like.
I understand that, but why should she not look like it? Explain to the world why she should not look like that one down there that's a year older.
Well, that should be self-explanatory.
Because you're trying to predict what she's going to look like in a year.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to predict. Okay. You're not even listening. I'm just saying. Listening. No, I'm saying if the calf heifer is the most close to an ideal for one of that age and that type or whatever, then I'm going to use her because two reasons. Number one, she's the one that looks the very best. She's the best representation of her age that day. I'm not going to be the one that goes down there and says, you know, I realize that the senior yearling or the cow-calf pair, you know, has done this, whatever. If they don't look to what I think is the closest to the idea of what a pair should look like or what a senior yearling should look like, they're going to get left standing. And I'm in the minority of that. And I get it. But the reason is I want to use the one that is the closest to ideal that day for their age, because I'm not going to be able to predict the future, because the cow-calf pair, the senior yearling may never have a live calf. And the calf may not turn out to be a great bred. But she's awesome there that day. Why not reward her?
I'm not going to argue with that at all. I just want to point out that when you say your ideal calf, in your mind, they look different than the yearlings. And that is because you think they need to look different in order to mature out and look good. That's all.
No,
But I agree with it. I have no opposition to using the one that looks the best that day. It just, my problem is, and I'm going to keep circling back to this, that I don't know that there's a standard anymore that this one is the best across the board. I think we're getting more inconsistency among judges than we've ever seen.
Oh, I'm not saying that, but I also think.
But why are we? Why is it happening?
That I cannot tell you.
I think it's because we don't have the base to fall back on. And again, I know you'll argue all day we shouldn't base it off the real world, but that is all there is. That's all we have to form a base. That is my best explanation on why we're off on different. We have more inconsistencies, I guess, and trends. Even when we have a real world base, use the hog industry, it still goes through wild trends. And sometimes it used to be it began in the real world that the packer wanted this, or not saying the packer should dictate things. But even if we have a real world base, we're still going to have these trends that happen, obviously. But I feel very strongly that as a group of judges, there should be at least something that we grab onto as a base. And I don't even care what it is, but something so we can have a little more consistency.
I'm trying to get this to Matt. You're saying the reason that there is such inconsistency is because this doesn't correlate back to the commercial world in any way anymore?
I'm saying that the commercial world used to be a basis for the show ring to a certain degree. And there's always been separation. I don't want to pretend it was the same thing.
No, I'm agreeing.
But at least,
that.
For example, in the... And I don't know that it's this way now, but it happens to follow it. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but I can remember very specifically over the past 20 to 30 years, depending on what was acceptable as a carcass weight would correlate back to what size steers were using. And it does now. I'm not saying it's because of that. It may just be coincidence. I don't know. But there was a base that at least gave us a parameter that at a market steer show, not a jackpot, not a prospect, but a market steer show where they're expected to be market ready, and that's what we're judging them on, the weight parameters that were accepted by the packing plant would have been 600 to 800 pound car. I'm just throwing numbers out there, but that correlates back to you remember, I maybe you don't. I can remember when 1,200 pounds was getting heavy on a calf and 1,300 pounds was out of bounds. And that.
Oh, was, I can. It wasn't 10 years ago that 1350 was kill you dead. Like you would not, no one would go use one over that.
Why did it kill it dead then?
Or 1250. I mean, I have never, I mean, I'm going to assume it's like you're saying that it goes back to carcass weight and all that other stuff.
Where they're not getting, at a certain point, they would get docked heavily for a carcass that was too heavy. Where right now they want product. They don't care what it is. And consequently, I mean, are there 1,500 pound natural weight steers being used? I think every day.
Yeah, there are.
I'm not saying show weight necessarily, but if you just let them eat and drink a little bit, that's about where they're going to be.
But I mean, they have turning weights over 1,500 that win. Yes. So, yeah. But no. And so I'm not saying that you're wrong on all that. If there was a base consensus of what right, wrong, and different, maybe there would be more consistency.
And I don't think every judge needs to like the same thing. I'm not trying to say that either, but just a parameter like that for weights. I can throw myself under the bus, hypocrite to the max. Do you know what the ideal market weight of a goat is?
No clue.
Commercially?
No clue.
They like to barbecue the damn things. So it's about 60 pounds, 50 to 60 pounds, closer to 50 than 60. Do you think many...
Oh, those 110 weights that win, they no good. They double.
I mean, there is nothing. They've just gone off on their own. And I've accepted that. I breed for that. And right now, there's such a demand for beef and goat and every meat product that we don't produce enough of. That 120-pound goat's still going to sell very well. But the ideal commercial weight is much, much less. And we don't ever talk about that at all, do we, in the goat ring?
No, but
I don't. And I'm here saying that we should. So I'm a hypocrite.
Well, I think that this that you just brought up correlates into another thing. And so, and I know this is not as big as it used to be, but it still happens some. But it has always bothered me when judges talk about carcass characteristics and market animals. Because again, you can't see what's under the hide. You can guess.
You know we're going to argue over this, right?
No, but there's no arguing because I'm right. unless you have Superman X-ray vision.
So with the market show is the term itself. The term itself is market show.
Right. Yeah.
So if we're not predicting how they're going to have some of their carcass parameters or carcass traits, I mean, we're just predicting. I understand. I love skeletal build. I love a good hair coat and a youth.
All right. So if you love skeletal build, you just said that, and you think that should be, and you think that's important in a market show. I know you do.
And I love a good looking one for what I define as good looking. You, I love a good.
You're going to argue with me now. So if you think that's important, that has nothing to do with market shows, because there's just as many people that say, well, you know what? They made it to the ring today walking, so they're good enough.
Yeah, there are people. I think there's fewer today that say that than there used to be, but there are.
There used to be a lot more.
Oh, many. That was a huge argument. I'm with you. I've never agreed with that.
Me neither, but I had to show some of them crippled.
I think that's why you're so against it, too.
It is.
So I think you bring it all into play, and I'm going to come into this, and I'm going to explain the best I can. You can go through, you can train yourself to have a pretty good idea. People get very good at looking at live animals and predicting what their carcass parameters are. We have competitions at the junior college and senior college that has kind of had a resurgence. The National Meat Animal Evaluation Contest, and they have an All East Meat Evaluation Contest that does just that. We make predictions on quality grade, yield grade, ribeye, loin eye, everything that you can ever imagine. And it's hard, and nobody's ever going to be exactly right. But just like everything else, if you're trained to do so and you spend time looking at animals live one day, looking at them in the cooler the next day, you become more proficient at it. Never perfect. I can think of a gentleman, one of my teachers from the University of Illinois, the meats judging coach, Dr. Tom Carr. We had a Meats 209 class, and it was one of my favorites. You'd look at the animals live on Monday, and you'd see them in the cooler on Wednesday. And that went into preparing you for what was called then the Exarban Contest, which is now the National Meat and Animal Evaluation Contest, that schools like Oklahoma State and K-State and Texas Tech and the University of Illinois and Purdue have always held it up there as a something pretty important to teach these kids. But a lot more of the colleges that are very dominant in the straight livestock judging contest at Louisville have all of a sudden stepped the game up and made this a fairly large priority. In part, if they're using those kids as juniors at this one to try to help better train them to see compositional differences, others are just trying to win and they're using their seniors that have already gone through everything. But I guess the point I'm trying to make, I'm with you. You don't know for sure. You can't see the marbling. But we can look at the subcutaneous fat and make assumptions. We can look at their muscular shape and make assumptions on ribeye. We can do those things with some form of accuracy.
I'm not going to argue with you that you can look at one and say, I think this one's going to have the bigger ribeye. Da, 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 da. No. I'm not going to argue that at all. Okay. But you bring up marbling. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have no freaking clue. Zero. Zero. Do you want to know why?
Please.
You want to know why? How highly genetic marbling?
High and how they're fed.
Do you know any of the genetics on that animal? None. Zero. Even if you ask the kid may not know and they may lie to you. So you don't know.
And
you know the color.
I can help make your case. How old that one is, what it's been fed, all of those things come into play. I'm not going to argue that part.
Marbling is highly genetic. Highly. You have no clue.
But there's still a correlation with subcutaneous fat, no matter how it was fed or anything.
And I used to say this in my reasons in college. Because you had to have carcass terms, and I thought it was stupid then. I think it's more ridiculous now.
Did Skaggs make you have them?
Yes.
Good man.
Terrible. But I would say that this one has enough fat cover that if its genetics allow, it should be able to roll into, you know, whatever.
I think that's a great, great way to present it. I'm with you 100% on that.
And I would argue with Skaggs then about it, but I did it and whatever and all this other stuff. And so, yes, I do think that you can, when you handle some animals, you can predict which one's fatter, which one's leaner, stuff like that. All that's fine. But I think the large majority of things that you're saying, this is a market show. So if we're going to throw these market carcasses,
I think it needs to be part of the basis. Not all by any means, but
I am just going to tell you that there is no way to identify a majority of the factors that is going to be able to tell you which one of those carcasses is the most valuable in the end.
I think you can do it with some, if you know what packing plant they're going to, because every packing plant's going to have a different grid system. Some want lean, muscular cattle, some want fat, high marbled cattle. Everything's different. We don't have that. So there, that helps your case even a little more. But if you have a parameter that I think traditionally speaking, and maybe not now, but I can speak very strongly, traditionally speaking, in a steer show, those that were judging a lot of shows for a long time, and I think it's carried over, let's try to get to low choice and then have as desirable of a yield grade as we can on the carcass side of it. And that means that we're going to have just enough subcutaneous fat to give the illusion that, yeah, it can make it, kind of like what you said. There's a chance it can make it, and then make them fairly muscular. Not, we don't need Belgian blue type muscle or anything like that. And so it's not always more is better, but those are the parameters. I think in general, and I'm not saying it has to be today or it's even held true today, but a low choice calf that had a real desirable somewhere in the twos, preferably yield grade, was the ideal to shoot for in the steer show, along with skeletal build and look and everything else that comes with it. Except for those few, Ryan, you say they walked good enough today, so that we just, if they just want to go off of carcass parameters alone, I'm with you. Hang them up and judge them on the rail. Take those absolute measurements. No question. Won't argue that at all. But I think that
I don't think there's anything wrong with having a carcass contest with shows. I don't.
Or just its own, not even a live part, not even a live portion. Just have a carcass contest.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't, it has nothing to do with the other show, gives kids more opportunity to win something, whatever. But I am going to stand by the fact that because you, like you said, you don't know where this animal's going to end up at a pack or whatever, all this other stuff. There are more factors that you cannot really even make a scientific or educated guess about in a show arena on which one of those carcasses is going to be the most valuable.
Yes. And you know what? I unfortunately, I'm going to agree with you more than I should on that. I have actually made the statement that if I'm judging a steer show and I really want to do the best job possible, I need to know where these are going. I need a grid, and that's insane. It's not going to happen. But to do what to prove your point, for us to stand out there and sort those cattle, the only assumption we can still make is that low choice quality grade with a desirable yield grade, which is exactly where the grocery stores and the base, or the majority of our product ends up. So we go with that. But what about that high-end restaurant trade? What about that Laura's lean beef trade? If we were doing a carcass contest, depending on what the end goal of that product was, will dictate who wins that carcass competition. And if we carry that into the live show, it's never going to happen and it'd be crazy. But you're right. We don't know. That show manager is not telling you, Ryan Rash, that these are going to Laura's lean beef. So if you're going to use any carcass parameters, lean it that way. Those things aren't going to happen.
And, you know, we're talking a lot in the cattle realm and the cattle species.
Yeah, I don't know why we're going there, but yeah.
But also apply this to other ones.
Except goats, not a goat.
Right. Zero. But I just want to point out, if there comes into any steer show ring a Wagyu influenced or a Wagyu animal.
I love it.
That's going to be the most valuable carcass out there. I don't even have to worry about predicting. And that some bitch is going to be dead ass last.
You're going to mistake it for a dairy cow.
And it's going to be dead ass last.
Yes, it is.
So,
very good point. Very good point. But
I was saying, I just don't understand.
How about we compromise that you like a little bit of muscle and you like a little bit of finish?
I like muscle. I love stout ones. I just want them to be sound and stout.
Yeah. No, I'm but, with you on that.
But I just think I really do. And this, I mean, I threw this topic together in 2 hours and thank God I didn't spend more time on it because I would probably have blood pressure problems because I whatever. I really do think that, and I know that nobody is out there to please anybody when they're judging other than themselves. And I believe that. And I think that's the only
I think people that are just getting started judging are trying to do what they can do to get enough.
Then that is an exercise in demolition for
but
yourself.
But don't you think that's happening?
Maybe. I think the only way you can approach judging is like it, and stay sane is really to appease yourself, because you're not going to make anybody happy.
There is
more
not
people,
a more accurate state.
More people are going to be pissed off than they're going to be happy. And so if you're out there trying to please the masses, then you're just, I'm not going to use the word, but we all know what word I'm going to say. You're screwed. But
And I can throw myself under the bus, Ryan, or you can throw me way under. I judged a pig show yesterday, and I promise you I pleased myself. Is that going to work for the rest of them? Probably not.
I'm not saying that people aren't out there trying to please people, but it just doesn't work in the long run if you judge enough of these. But I do think that everybody wants people to think that they tried and they did a decent job. Maybe it wasn't great. Maybe, you know, they didn't win. But when you talk those things, they want to think that you have working knowledge of stuff and that you described them accurately. And I'm just telling you from all sides of this, I've seen all sides of this probably as much or more as anybody. If you will talk more about what people can actually see in the arena and make more comparisons of this animal to the one behind it or the one behind it to the one in front of it, that they can directly see those comparisons, you're going to be far better off than this crystal ball shit and these fancy terms about how this one's going to be all this and that and whatever. He's laughing and I'm telling
you. It doesn't have to be a fancy term. I'm going to tell you.
Have you listened to the people judging these days? It's all fancy terms.
There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, this calf fits me from a carcass standpoint, or I just like you had stated, I think he has a chance to grade choice. There's nothing wrong with that's not fancy. Or this one's probably got a huge ribeye in him. Not that we need a bigger ribeye, but that's the same thing. Making some of those differences between first, second, and third, I'm okay with that. The other problem, we're assuming something here, and you and I know better, that if there's 200 people watching, there's maybe two that are listening and understanding what you're
everybody talking about. Listens to their calf. Bullshit. Everybody listens to their calf.
Those two on that calf or whatever it is. So the masses aren't, and I'm not saying it's right. Maybe we ought to dumb it down even more and make it easier for the average person that's there to support that show or support those kids can understand it. I don't know what's right there.
I think the less that you try to make projections and read into the future and the more that you just talk about what's actually out there, the better off you're going to be. And I'm going to stand by that. I don't care what you say.
I'm not arguing with that part.
And you telling me, I know you said that nobody's listening. Well, I listen to everything and I know I'm in the less than 0%. But every single person there listens to their animal and the one that beat them.
Agreed.
So there you go. But I just think that I think that we try to get too wrapped up into predicting the future, or like calling things out that you can't possibly. No, and that was the whole purpose of this topic. Dale disagrees, but I don't. So,
I just think there's things that you can never be absolute, but if there's a correlation or some consistency that you feel comfortable predicting.
This is coming from the same man that came up with the topic last week, correlation.
Because there are some things that don't correlate, and there are some things that do. So I think this is good. I mean, it's a good discussion, and I think it opens up a broader topic that I want to continue to foster a little bit. Just where are we in the show ring? Where are we going? Is there a basis that maybe we should talk a little more about? And I don't have any of the answers for that. I don't know. And I'm not opposed to it. I can use myself as an example. Those goats that have some really unique pieces that I know are hard to breed for and hard to make. I like that in the show ring, and I promise you it has zero commercial relevance. So take that for what it is. This was good though, Ryan. I'm pretty good with it. Are you ready for anything on the question and answer side? I have a sponsor.
Sure.
If we go back and one last thing, before we get too far, all the discussion that Ryan and I are having over what to predict under the skin and all of those things. Remember, this is our personal opinion. Ryan's judging a lot of shows. I'm judging a show here and there when time. We're not trying to speak for the entire group of judges. Actually, the opposite. Just bringing out, here's what's going on. So take that for what it is. I enjoy the discussion though, Ryan. Very much mm-hmm. so. You've heard me talk about the original Phantom Halter, Begone Adhesive Remover, and BW Final Drive that assists with County Fair Premium Auctions. These products and services are brought to you by the Hunker Show family. This family is deeply rooted in the show stock industry. They get it. They live it. We appreciate their support of the podcast and the junior livestock industry. Visit phantomhalter.com for more information and use the coupon code BTR for a 10% discount on purchases. Joe has our first question. And I pulled these up last night. I'm hoping none of them bother your blood pressure. I think we'll be okay. This is the second person, Ryan, that brought this up, and it is relative to last week's topic. My question is, I was always told rounder rib in livestock was good as it increases lung and internal capacity. Your thoughts?
Okay, we'll go with that. That's my thoughts.
I was afraid of that. I have thoughts if you'd like me to contribute.
Okay, I won't call it bullshit.
I think it's irrelevant.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said.
But I'm not arguing with this guy that he was told that.
We talked about this at some point. Maybe it was last week. But I am not saying that I don't like round rib cattle or goats or hogs or sheep. It's a cool look. Okay. I also believe that it is more just for aesthetic qualities. Yes. Than it is anything functional or beneficial, period.
Isn't this great to agree on something?
Yeah, since we didn't agree on any of that other bullshit.
And I had another comment. Our good friend Matt Clay's listened to that episode, I believe, while he's mowing his lawn the other day. So I got a phone call, Ryan. Remember that the topic round rib came up, and I told you somewhere at a county fair while I was in junior college, Dan Hoag explained to me the philosophy on the rounder rib.
On the class of woolly mammoths.
Getting the sows able to get up and down in the crate. And Matt said he had that same lecture from Mr. Hoag a few years before me. And he argued the fact that it's not really the rib cage that allows them to roll and get up, but it's actually their shoulder. And needed to bring that up. And the more I think about it, if there's any relevance to that, the shoulder's probably going to play a pretty big role in it.
Back to this, I'm just telling you, I think it is 100% aesthetic and has no functional qualities or usefulness at all.
Agreed.
That is my opinion.
Yes, I'm with you. And I love a round rib, and I can't tell you that it's going to benefit anything in the real world of things. But I love the aesthetic look. I like a lot of those things. Some will say the upper round rib lays a basis for more muscle. I'm not going down that path at this moment. But there are others that will try it that have justification beyond just the internal capacity. But at one time, we talked about more center rib, more body. We did talk about more lung and heart capacity, more rumen capacity, all of those things. It was real at one time, and Ryan will really not like this. If that was so true, Mother Nature would probably have it in her selection of the fittest out there in the real world and wild animals. And there are no very few round-ribbed animals out there in nature.
There you go.
I can use the example in goats. We haven't been breeding goats for as long as the others, and I tell you,
wild kingdom man here.
Yes, making a round rib in a goat is very difficult because of so many generations of it not being present. Next question from Mary. Dale and Ryan, thank you for the podcast and your honest insight each week. See there, Ryan, there's people that listen and they like it.
Yeah.
Even if we don't agree. I continue to hear judges talk about more hair being a positive on pigs. Uh-huh. And I read that exactly as typed. It wasn't great, but I did. Please explain how this has become a priority.
It's just an aesthetic thing. Again, the hair
is a trend.
It is a trend. It is for aesthetics. It is all those things. It has no functional use whatsoever at all. I mean, we can say this in pigs more than any other species because the pigs in years have gone from they want them absolutely surgically shaved down so tight there's no hair to now we want them kept in coolers and look like mini show steers. So, I mean, I'm like, it is just the aesthetic trend at the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think just like all trends that I have said on this podcast since the inception and in recent weeks, I think all trends go way too far. And then we come back
and we laugh at where we were.
Laugh at where we were. I think this will be one of them. Do I think that we will ever probably go back to surgically clipping the hogs so tight? No, but I also don't know if we'll stay right where we are right now with wanting them to have, you know, Fort Worth steer show hair either. So I think it's just the aesthetic trend at the time, and I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, we have to be careful because you and I don't oppose hair on cattle.
But I also don't oppose them slick either. I mean, so, true. I mean, it is what it is, but I mean...
Maybe we'll evolve into a hair pig show and a slick pig show.
That'd be great. I think it'd be perfect. I think we should do it for everything. Equal rights for slick animals.
I think we've developed. I mean, I think it has in the breeding sheep. We've seen that. Obviously, the steers in the South. We're seeing it in the doe classes. So I'm just letting y'all know,
anybody that thinks slick sharing something is easier than with hair, y'all are wrong. You're so wrong. It is so wrong.
Perry brings the next question to us. There are many families that decide they want to show livestock, but jump in with minimal experience and do not find people that are willing to help, resulting in these same people leaving the junior livestock show arena as fast as they jumped into it. What do we do about this?
I think this is the most important question that our industry faces right now. Now, more than ever, I think there are more people that are getting into this that have zero experience. And I can't explain why. When I mean zero experience, they didn't do it. Their parents didn't do it. Their kids have never done it. But I don't know. They saw it on TikTok and want to do it now. I'm not sure. I don't know. But there are more people that are in this than ever before, because by and large, our industry for years has been, well, you know what? I showed, so my kids are going to show. And now there is a larger portion, like this man is stating, that are just jumping into this head first and no nothing.
I can explain why it's happening.
Okay, like. Why?
So it's not a TikTok video, I hope. I think it's just good parents that somehow were exposed to this by a relative or a friend or something. I can't tell you that everybody's going to have the same exact contact of exposure, but somehow they were made aware of the junior livestock industry and the benefits of it. And being good parents, they want to raise their kids as best they can. And they see this as an avenue to do so. At that point, right then, it's very difficult to understand the complexity of it and the difficulties and how challenging it's going to be and the learning curve that's there. But I commend those that do it and face that learning curve and reach out for help and get to the point where they're raising their children in the stock show industry. And that is the most important thing a parent can do is try to raise their children in an environment that they believe is best possible.
But you didn't answer this guy's question. You just gave a...
I'm answering your question. How it's happening
now? Well, that's great.
To answer his question, I think with you, I think we as an industry, and there are some that are doing everything they can to help new families, and there are others that could give a shit less and just move on. But I think we better start embracing those new families as an industry more every day. We can't embrace them too much. It's impossible. Go that extra mile. Take that time to try to assist and educate as best we can. And if we do that, our industry continues. If we don't, it doesn't.
My response to this man on what we need to do, yes, I agree with Dale that we need to embrace them as much as possible and understand that there is this faction, this segment that is this, and that they're going to need more help. I would rather, and I don't know if they're listening, but if there are people out there that are in this bracket, in this section, of the livestock industry population that are doing this and don't have any experience and all this other stuff. My advice to you is talk to the people at shows and explain your situation. Say, you know what? I never did this. My wife never did this, but we want our kids to do it. And so we literally are flying blind here. And ask them questions or ask them, who do you think is the best person to help my family? And I think you will get more honest answers and feedback that way than trying to look at social media where everybody's bragging that they're the best and all this other stuff, because those families have dealt with a lot of different individuals, and they know those individual strengths and weaknesses, because everybody that sells them has strengths and weaknesses. Nobody's perfect. And so my advice to them is just ask questions to people that you see at shows, because it may be scary to admit your situation. Maybe you don't want to be that person, but I'm telling you, I would much rather you go up and ask people at a show, tell them, describe your situation, and get honest feedback about what you should do, who maybe you should talk to in terms of getting your animals from and stuff like that, than just trying to do it with a crystal ball that you don't have, to bring it back to the topic.
I like it. Excellent. 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 Ryan, thank you. This was good discussion. And again, don't always agree, but I think for the most part we do. I do take the other side just so we present both sides sometimes. But until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now. You hear?